From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we'll continue the series of studies of the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes, but first we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Listen for the Signal. The text is 2 Samuel 5 and verse 24. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. There are signs of the Lord's moving which should move us. The Spirit of God blows where he listeth, and we hear the sound thereof. Then is the time for us to be more than ever astir. We must seize the golden opportunity and make the most we can of it. It is ours to fight the Philistines at all times, but when the Lord himself goes out before us, then we should be specially valiant in the war. The breeze stirred the tops of the trees, and David and his men took this for the signal for an onslaught, and at their advance the Lord himself smote the Philistines. Oh, that this day the Lord may give us an opening to speak for him with many of our friends. Let us be on the watch to avail ourselves of the hopeful opening when it comes. Who knows but this may be a day of good tidings, a season of soul winning. Let us keep our ear open to hear the rustle of the wind and our minds ready to obey the signal. Is not the promise, then shall the Lord go out before thee, a sufficient encouragement to play the man? Since the Lord goes before us, we dare not hold back. One of the hallmarks of Protestant Christianity is its tradition of singing. Just as the worship in the Old Testament was characterized by song, So the people of God down through the ages have been a singing people. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a CD entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise that contains nearly an hour of the great hymns of the church performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. The CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns will continue to deal with the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, what is commonly called the unpardonable sin. In the course of the message, Dr. Cairns is seeking to reveal what the Bible teaches in this area, answering such questions as, who can commit this sin, and what exactly is the unpardonable sin? As we've already seen, this sin can lie in ascribing the works of the Spirit to the devil, rejecting what the Holy Spirit teaches about Christ, or refusing God's offer of salvation through him, or perhaps all of these. From the text in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, Dr. Cairns has shown that the Pharisees rejected the obvious divine power manifested in the words and works of Christ. This denial is at the heart of apostasy and will not be forgiven. A particularly troublesome passage for many Christians is in Hebrews chapter 6, which speaks of those who fall away from believing in Christ. Dr. Cairns will provide much clarity for this passage. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit.
Most commentators in the Bible take it that there's only one sin that's unpardonable, described in various ways in Scripture. Some others, however, demur and hold that, in fact, there are different sins that end up being unpardonable. I have to say that that appears to me to fly in the face of the statement of Christ that all manner of sin and blasphemy may be forgiven unto man with one single exception. So you can see right away that we're in an area where there's a lot of dispute, conflicting opinions. For instance, you'd wonder how people can come to such diverse conclusions reading the same Bible. But the Lutherans believe that this is a sin which only regenerate people can commit. Nobody but the regenerate, according to the classic Lutheran position, can commit this sin. Over against that, the classic Calvinistic position is that no regenerate person can possibly commit this sin. Diametrically opposed. So there are many opinions. What I want to do today is to look at the theories about this blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, just set them out. Then, the body of the message, we want to look at the texts. After all, it's what the Bible says that really matters. The texts in Scripture about the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And then I want to wrap it all up with the simple teaching of this subject in the Bible. Now let me quickly dispense with the theories. Of all the multitudes of notions that people have come up with, I think they may be summarized under three headings. First of all, there are those who say that the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is the sin of ascribing to the devil those plainly miraculous works of the Holy Ghost. Now, there's a second view. It was taught by no less a Bible teacher than the great Augustine, the North African Bishop of Hippo. Always a strange name for a Bishop of Hippo, but an outstanding teacher. Not infallible, but certainly to be looked at. And he has led thousands, yea, millions after him, when he said, no, this sin, really, when you take all the scriptures into consideration, is the sin of final impenitence. This is the sin of a man whose heart is finally hardened against Christ and against the gospel, and he lives and dies impenitent. The only sin, he said, that God will not forgive is the sin of final refusal to repent. John Calvin didn't like Augustine's view. He said, this is not a sin that's committed on your deathbed. This is a sin that's committed through your life. While there's plainly time to repent, this is a sin that takes place in the life. And he says, it is a sin of willful and malicious and wicked resistance to the conclusive evidence that the Holy Ghost presents to the mind, convicting it of sin and pointing it to Christ. It is that malicious, malevolent hatred of the gospel that rejects it no matter what the truth of it may be, no matter what the evidence for it is, no matter what the conviction of the Spirit is, no matter what the impetus that the Spirit places in our life may be to bring us to Christ. It is that total rejection of the gospel. You know, when you come to look at the scriptures, there's a lot to be said for that. So these then are the theories with some of the arguments that are produced. Now let's look at the texts themselves. We have read in Matthew 12, verse 31 and 32. The background, of course, is Christ speaking to the Pharisees. He had just done a notable miracle. It was clearly a work of the Holy Spirit's power. The Lord Jesus says, if I by the Spirit of God cast out devils, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Everybody saw the force of that logic. The people around him were crying, is not this the Son of David? They could immediately discern that this was the working of divine power. When the Lord Jesus spoke, even those wicked men who were sent to arrest him had to say, never man spake like this man. When the Lord Jesus preached, the Jewish people who listened to him marveled that he spoke with divine authority and not as the scribes and the Pharisees. When the Lord Jesus worked, even a member of the Sanhedrin like Nicodemus had to say, we know that thou art come from God. I don't want to get into John 3. But the expression there, come from God, on the mouth or on the lips of a Jewish teacher, is a description of the Messiah. Nicodemus was coming as near as he could to saying that in the very Sanhedrin, we have the evidence by your miracle working power that you are come from God. So the works of Christ, as with the words of Christ, clearly evidenced divinity, divine power. But the Pharisees, wickedly, maliciously, hardening their hearts and blinding their minds against light, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils except by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. They took what Nicodemus admitted they knew to be the work of God the Holy Spirit, and they said, it is the work of the devil. Very, very clearly then, the Lord Jesus is saying that such a thing is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, because it was on that occasion that he said, you may blaspheme God, you may blaspheme the Son of Man, you may commit many sins and be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is never to be forgiven. Why did he say this? Parallel passage in Mark 3:30 puts it very clearly. Because they said he hath an unclean spirit. I think nothing therefore could be clearer that according to Matthew and Mark, the essence of this sin committed by the Pharisees was attributing to the devil what was clearly attested to be the work of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me say that the kind of hardness that filled the Pharisees, so that they repudiated the very Christ of God standing before them, that kind of hardness can very clearly be seen recurring in men and women today. There are those who, in the light of the gospel, the full light of this word of God, yet make a hellish mockery of Jesus Christ. When a man crosses that line, God knows. And I want to tell you, there are things that are not to be trifled with. There are things that are never to be mocked. And I believe there are many across this nation who betray the very same sin as the Pharisees in their lives. I think of apostates, some of them from this country, some of them from our country. I think of an American theologian, Nels F. Ferry, learned in the things of God, well able to go to the scriptures, get up to teach them, coming to this book which teaches the virgin birth of Jesus Christ by the miraculous power of God the Holy Spirit. He nevertheless could get up before congregations across this world and then put it into cold print. Jesus Christ was but the bastard son of a German soldier. I want to tell you, my friend, that as I understand this Bible is not a theological discrepancy. That is not an allowable difference of interpretation. That is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It hath never forgiven us. The same teaching, as I've indicated, is found in Mark chapter 3. Study those passages to attribute to the devil what is clearly of God the Holy Ghost is to blaspheme him. Remember, this is not a sin of ignorance. This is not a wandering by mistake into some forbidden area. This is the deliberate attribution to the devil of that which the Word of God has convinced your heart and mind is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, the parallel passage in Luke chapter 12 adds another strand of thought. Because in that passage, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But he's speaking of it in a context, verses 9 to 12, of apostasy. Look carefully, verse 9. He that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Here's a denial by man that is followed inevitably by his being denied by God. That's an unpardonable sin. Yes, says Christ in verse 10, you may speak against the Son of Man and be forgiven, but unto him that blasphemes against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And he goes on to say, when they bring you unto synagogues, magistrates, powers, take no thought how you, what you shall answer, what you shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you shall say. The Lord Jesus is speaking of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit in the context of denying him. Now, this is not a mere denial out of fear. Peter did that and he was forgiven. Didn't Peter deny the Lord three times and he was forgiven? Yet here is a denial that is different in character. And the Lord Jesus says, he that denies me after this sort will never be forgiven, for it is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Now what that denial is becomes clear from our next text. One of the most difficult in all the Bible, the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, and verses 4 to 6. Now let me read the verses, because they cause a lot of people a lot of problems. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Now very obviously here is an unforgivable sin. There's no restoration to repentance after this sin. Let me turn you very quickly to Hebrews chapter 10, where you've got a parallel statement. Verse 26. If we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. So there again is the unpardonable sin. Now what is this denial that both Christ and Paul now are talking about? What Paul has in mind is the total repudiation of the gospel as the ministration of the Spirit. What he's talking about is the entire rejection of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as the way of atonement. Now when we turn to Hebrews 6, there are a lot of people who think that this is talking about saints falling away. Christians who somehow feel the Lord and they can never be restored. So they're saved today and they're lost in hell tomorrow. But this is far from the truth. The key to Hebrews 6 is verses 7 and 8. The earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now very clearly the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of these same people in Matthew 13. When he spoke of the seed falling on the thorny ground, just as Paul's talking about the thorny ground. These are not true believers, but people who have received great blessings through the gospel. I want you to be very intent in thinking this one through. For this touches many people. Especially does it touch those who are brought up in Christian homes under the sound of the gospel. Here are people and they receive many blessings through the gospel. Even though they themselves are not saved, yet there are many things that they have morally and spiritually because of their association with the gospel. Yes, they even have made a thorny ground profession of the gospel. They are what the old Puritans used to call temporary believers. They are those who make a fair profession. But when the cares of this world come, when it comes to a contest between Christ and the world, they want the world. They are the thorny ground, so-called believers. They're not saved. They are not saved.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.